right. We'll take your Bibles tonight. Open to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs 29. And I shared a title with you this morning. Change is not more of the same. Change is not more of the same. While you find your place, I remind you, Paul was praying for the church at Philippi. And as he prayed, he was praying that their love might abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, things that may be things that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. As you and I learn and grow in our knowledge of the Lord through the Word of God, God wants it to be manifest in what we give our approval to. What is it that we put our stamp on? What do we get behind? What do we emphasize? What do we validate? What do we give honor to? And that should be changing as we grow in the Lord. Okay? As we learn of Him, as we learn the wisdom principles of God, then our discernment is ever changing and ever growing. And that is something that Paul prayed for in the maturity of God's people as they become rooted and grounded in the precious Word of God. Now, if you'll notice with me in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 2, the Bible said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now, Lord, would you write this wisdom principle upon our heart? And Father, Lord, may it be a reference for us as we grow in the Lord, as we mature in Christ, as we become rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Lord, may it produce a greater discernment, a greater sense of judgment of things that are right, things that are good. May we approve things that are excellent. And Father, may that be manifest in our life, in our testimony, in our witness, Lord, in our family and community. God, I do pray now that you'd guide us by the Holy Ghost of God, that you'd give liberty in the house of the Lord, and that you would bless us in study that we might learn and grow. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You and I, as we live in this country of ours, we are certainly aware of the fact that there's a great deal of anger in our communities around about for all many causes and reasons. We have an angry world we're living in. We have an angry country. We see it everywhere. And much of that anger is born out of not only a discontent, but also some type of sense of injustice, of things that are perceived as wrong. And sometimes, listen, that comes from a good place. Sometimes it comes from a bad place. But it seems that everybody's angry, and that anger and that type of a spirit or attitude is always causing for change. But as I mentioned in the title, change is not more of the same. If it continues down the same path, then it's not change at all. We come to the wisdom principle tonight in verse number 2 of chapter 29. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. In Psalm 55:19, the Bible said, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. In other words, that a change that is not born out of the fear of God is not much of a change at all. It's just simply, listen, a new approach, a new direction, and yet the root of the problem has not been solved. And many times we have gone to medical doctors and become frustrated because they can't identify the real root of our problems. And so we go through this test and that test, and this one says this, that one says something else, listen, we're like we're caught in a yo-yo and we have no idea, and we're dependent upon them to tell us, and we cannot get a diagnosis. We cannot come up with the root of the problem. And I'm sure if you haven't experienced, you've probably known somebody that has and cannot tell us. I don't think they've ever come up with a solid diagnosis of what Brother Shane Brantley has. I don't think to this day they still are absolutely sure and can tell him either bone cancer or severe case of Lyme disease. I don't think they've ever been able to really establish what it is. And certainly that is not to cast a great complaint against the medical facility. What I'm simply saying is this, is that becomes very frustrating in our life. And we sense it here in the nation in which we're living. That we are calling for change, we're looking for change, we're demanding change. But listen, change is not more of the same. God's wisdom principle here in this verse of Scripture is very important. It's something that a Christian ought to understand. It ought to be rooted and grounded in his life. It ought to be a foundation of his discernment and judgment. And that is, there can be no pleasant society without righteousness, period. Just period. I don't care what your schemes and your plans and your dreams and your legislation is. Listen, if you destroy the context of righteousness in a people, you will never have a pleasant, wonderful, blessed society. It cannot exist if it's not founded upon that which is right. Now, that's something we ought to know. Amen? Are you saved today? Do you know anything about the Bible? Then you know that there has to be a foundation of righteousness for us to have any sense of real hope that we will enter into a period of real change and real blessing. It has to be grounded in righteousness, or it's not going to happen. I don't care how gifted the individuals are. I don't care, listen, how great is their oration. I don't care how great is their policy. If it's not founded upon righteousness, listen, it is not real change. It is just more of the same. It is simply trying to put a Band-Aid on a cancer. It's not going to work. And listen, the Christian ought to have that understanding. Wickedness is the underlying cause of our conflict, of our corruption, of all that is unsound in our society. And listen, if we ignore it and do not deal with it, we're simply walking around in spiritual blindness, and all of our solutions are folly. And so, listen, when you went to the doctor and he said, listen, you got a bad heart is the problem, but I tell you what we're going to do. Listen, we're going to treat, listen, that elbow injury you got. Okay? Well, it might be nice to your elbow not to feel bad, but that's still not going to answer the bigger problem. The problem is greater, and the problem has greater effects. And so problem solving without understanding the wisdom principle will never really bring about a real change in a nation or among a people, whether domestic or society or even a nation. Listen, then for there to be real change, the matter of righteousness and wickedness and good and evil have to be clearly stated and certainly have to be dealt with in any society for there to be order and soundness and happiness. In Isaiah 59, the prophet was raised up, and here's what he saw about the nation. He said, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. What a picture of the nation here of Israel when he saw them, listen, trying to lead a nation But he said that it was the same as being a blind man groping in the darkness and trying to find his way and trying to lead others. And when they had no light and had no eyes to see and no ears to hear. Zephaniah 1:17 said, I will bring distress upon them that they shall walk like blind men because they've sinned against the Lord. Listen, when men sin against the Lord and refuse to repent and confess and repent of those sins, God simply takes away the judgment away from them. And listen, they have nothing to offer but folly. And listen, it's simply, as Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, let them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. And here's what we have today. Listen, we have the piper piping, and we have people following along, rejoicing, and listen, with hope and excitement, and this is it. And listen, we're finally going to do something. There'll be changes, and they're both going to fall in the ditch. Because, listen, they've ignored the principle of good and evil and righteousness and wickedness, and there will never be peace and there will never be true prosperity until there's righteousness in the land. Now, that is a wisdom principle. And that is something we as Christians ought to have as an understanding. We're smarter than that. Okay? And so, listen, I don't get too excited about much of nothing if it doesn't call the nation to God and call the nation to righteousness. There's not anything to get excited about. Why? Because change is not more of the same. And if we do not deal with the root of the problem, then it's a band-aid put on from a different direction. And that's what it amounts to. There is, and there can be no righteousness without God and His Word. There can be no righteousness without God in His Word. You know, our founding fathers constituted this nation firmly in a reverence for God. Now, why did they do that? Not only because they themselves were, believers in God, many of them Christians, but they understood something that's a fundamental. And that fundamental is that a great society or a great nation must have the consciousness of God in order for them to operate in a sense of soundness, because the consciousness of God is what gives man the sense of accountability. What we're seeing today is leadership in the country that has no sense of accountability to God whatsoever. They have no foundation in a fundamental that is essential. There's no foundation for character and conduct. Without this foundation, there is no thought of fear or reward. There is no thought of gain or loss, no thought of blessing or cursing by the divine providence of God. Listen, here's something I've learned as a Christian. I'm conscious of what I do because I want the blessing of God and not His judgment upon my life. And so that is a conscious thought in my mind. And listen, it is a government over my actions. It brings me to consider them because I believe in God. And I believe that the great purpose of the Almighty God is to bring us to the understanding, that it is righteousness that He will bless and wickedness He will curse. And that brings me to Christ as the only way in which I can have the favor of God upon my life. And so, listen, I have an understanding. It's in my mind. It's in my heart. It causes me to stop and consider my choices and my actions because I believe I am accountable to God and I believe He will hold me accountable. You see, our forefathers, even those men who did not have a proper foundation in salvation in Christ, even those men had a fear of God. And they knew that was essential for the establishment of a great nation. Because without the conscience of God, men have no sense of accountability. They do not weigh their actions. They become loose according to their wills and have no sense of curse or blessing. And we are living in a world today where there is no fear of God in the land. And when there's no fear, there's no sense of accountability. And so, listen, when there's no fear of God, you know what happens? The light goes out. That's exactly the verse we read in Zephaniah. Now listen, he said, I will bring distress upon them, that they shall walk like blind men because they've sinned against the Lord. They'll never find a solution. That's what God is saying. Because you have ignored me, because you've rejected me, because you've rejected the standard of righteousness and what God has said is right and good and true, you've rejected that. And so God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring a distress upon you, and you'll never find a solution, and things will never get any better. Do we not understand that? What I'm telling you, in the midst of all the excitement bandwagon, that, listen, unless the nation turns to God, it won't get any better. Huh? I don't care who promises what. It ain't going to get not one speck better. That's the principle of wisdom that God says, and God's declaration and God's judgment upon a nation. And so, listen, that helps us as Christians to be discerning. And helps us, listen, to give, listen, a more sincere approval of things that are excellent, things that excel. The transgression of the wicked saith in my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. In Romans 3:14 it says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And so here's what God has said. Here's what God has promised. When there's no fear of God in the eyes of the people, listen, they will walk in darkness and they will have blinded eyes and they will not know peace and they will not know the blessings of God. And so, listen, change, real change, is not more of the same. No. There has to be a true turning. What constitutes real change? Listen, it's when men turn toward God. That's when there's real change. You know when you got changed? It's when you turn from yourself and your own ways and you turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when God changed you. If you want the miracle of God in your life, it's when you turn to Him. Amen? When we turn to Him. That's true of me personally. It's true domestically. It's true socially. It's true for a nation. If you want real change, I'm going to tell you something. Only God can bring it about. Only God can bring it about. And God says, in His Word, we have read these scriptures, if we compile them, here's what God is saying. If you don't turn to me, there ain't going to be no changes. There ain't going to be none. No. It won't get any better. Not at all. And so, that's the Word of God. It is the duty of all authority to promote the good and punish the evil. Did you get that? It is the duty of all authority to promote the good and punish the evil. How much common sense does it take to realize a person is authority? That's what the authority's been given for. Right? To bless and promote the good. And listen, to bring judgment, punishment upon the evil. That's the whole purpose of authority. Anything outside of that, that authority's been corrupted. That authority now has become for personal advantage, personal gain. Listen, it's all about themselves. It's an abuse of power. It's an abuse of authority. Listen, when that fundamental has been denied and rejected, then that tells you something about that person. He may say, you know what, I want this authority because I love my country, I love y'all, love the nation, and listen, because I want to bless and help people. But I'm going to tell you something. If he doesn't follow that principle of promoting the good and bringing punishment on the evil, he's in it for himself. Because he's abused that authority, abused that power. And so, the welfare of the state has been entrusted to individuals, both spiritual, domestic, commercial, and civil. And God holds all individuals in any form of authority, He holds them accountable. You know that? He holds them accountable. There will be a day when all people in authority in all aspects of life will have to give an account to God of whether they use that authority, listen, for His glory or whether they used it for their own. There will be an accountability. And so, peace and prosperity is the offspring of goodness. The Bible said, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when civil authorities promote righteousness and punish evil, the society is rewarded. Now, they're rewarded with what? When civil authorities promote righteousness, the society is rewarded with wonderful things like goodness. And things like truth and honesty, integrity, compassion, giving, respect, mercy, justice, and kindness. Those things are the fruits of righteousness. Right? I like those. Those are good things to have in your home. Right? They're good things to have in your community. They're good things to have in your nation. I like those things. Those things are pleasant. Those things are enjoyable. Those things, listen, are comforting. Goodness and truth, integrity, character, compassion, giving, respect, mercy. Listen, justice, kindness, that is a product of righteousness. But when a authority does not promote righteousness nor punish evil, when evil is excused, when it's enabled and sometimes endorsed, here's what you get. You get deception, you get lies, you get greed, robbery, murder, violence, hate, injustice, wickedness, perversion. That is the fruit of wickedness. And that's what you'll get. You'll get it in your home, you will get it in your society, and you'll get it in your nation. And so, listen, it is mandatory in the principle here of wisdom that to righteousness, listen, must be the duty of all authority, and that the evil must be punished. Amos 5:14, the Bible said, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And that live has a full context, not only eternally, but abundantly in this present world, in this present time, in our societies. If you want to know real living, the life, listen, that is blessed, the life that's abundant, it comes when we seek good and not evil. Malachi 2:17, they ask the question, wherein have we worried him when you say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord? Listen, God's woe upon a nation, woe upon them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so God makes this foundation principle very clear and very plain, and it ought to be rooted and grounded in the heart and the mind of every child of God. It ought to affect, listen, what we, in our discernment, put our approval on, and what we firmly give honor to. And when we do not see a principle of righteousness, then listen, it's like when you take the balloon and you burst it with a pin. It all leaks out. It has no consistency. It has no real foundation. Has no real fruit. It has no stability whatsoever. It's nothing but hot air. That's all it is. And God, in His Word, clearly lays that foundation in our life. We have a great darkness today in our world. Now let me say this. Our founders understood that all human government is flawed. Okay? We will never know the true peace and joy of life till Christ reigns. That's true personally, true domestically, true in our society, true in our nation. And it's true in the world. And one day, thank God, He will reign. I will certainly go on record. Do you believe in the little reign of Christ? Absolutely, 100%. I believe, just as the Bible said, that Jesus Christ will rule as the Son of David, and the promise given to David, that of His Son, listen, the kingdom be no end, Jesus Christ will rule upon that nation, as the Bible clearly says. And so all human government is flawed. It will always have defects. But here's something our founders understood. The best way to deal with the defects and the flaws of human government is the fear of God. The fear of God. You know why? that checks the deficiencies and flaws of human government. You say, well, how does it do that? Let me share this with you. The attempt to legislate controls on men's conduct in the area which only God can produce will simply lead to the destruction of individual liberty. Now let me explain that. You and I cannot legislate mercy and compassion, forgiveness, love, and real character. That cannot be legislated, friend. It cannot. You can pass all the laws you want, but those laws will not make me love you. Right? You can pass all the laws you want, and you cannot make me have a compassionate heart. You can pass all the laws you want, and you cannot force me to have a merciful spirit toward the lives of others. Those things cannot be legislated. And so there is a safety net where there is flaws in human government. It is the fear of God. Because only God can do the things that men cannot do. You say, men cannot produce the spirit of sharing and giving born out of mercy and grace. Man can't produce that. But you know who can? God can. Jesus Christ can, and He does. You know what God does? Listen, when He saves the sinner, He gives him, listen, he becomes partaker of that divine nature, becomes indwelt by the Spirit of God, and the fruits of the Spirit begin to grow out of his life. And you know what happens? He begins to have a love and a kindness and a temperance. Those things are born out of the Spirit of God. And listen, wherever there is defects in human government, listen, the fear of God and salvation in Christ will produce those things in his life. Listen, that will fill in the blanks and will establish a solid foundation for a good and wonderful society. You can't legislate what only God can do in the human heart. And our founders understood that. And so along with every documentation, along with the rights that they stated, along with the Constitution that they wrote, those things were saturated with the fear of God, the respect and reverence for God, because all human governments are flawed. We simply can't make people do things that only God can do. And so that's the reason in their wisdom these things were so rooted. If you attempt to do it legislatively, you will destroy human liberty. If you force men, listen, to give, if you force men to have compassion, which they don't have, if you force the hand, listen, of individuals, and you take from them, listen, you will destroy the foundation of human liberty. And when you destroy the incentive of reward, listen, the economic system established in that country will fall upon its face, and it will annihilate that country, and there'll be nothing left. And so notice the blindness of human beings who have no fear of God. They simply try the best they can to legislate and force the hand of men to do those things that should be done. And if you go to those extremes, you will destroy the incentive man has. Well, if I give man this kind of liberty, if we give man this kind of freedom, that he is rewarded for his integrity, his investment, his hard work, his imagination, his invention, the sweat of his brow. Listen, if I let him be rewarded, then what am I going to do about those who do not have those gifts and those abilities? And the world says, here's what we'll do. We will take away his incentive. And we'll take the benefits of his labors and we'll give it to everyone else. And what happens? without that incentive or reward, and the man decides, I'm not going to do anything. Why should I? Why should I? Why should I put forth my effort? Why should I put forth my sweat? You've taken away my reward. You say, but preacher, what can you do in order to deal with the injustices of society and those that are unable and those who do not have the gifts and talents? My friend, our founders understood that that is what God is able to do in the hearts and lives of people that governments cannot do. And so listen, here's what happens when the fruit of the Spirit is in the human heart, when the power of the salvation of God, listen, began to work in a man's life. You know what happens? God has blessed him. He knows his blessings for God. He knows, listen, it's by the good hand of God and the favor of God and the protection of God and the willingness of God that he's been able, listen, to earn and to be rewarded. And so God gives him a desire. And listen, God gives him a conviction to be a giver and to share and to give and to do. And only God, listen, can affect a man in such a way that he can both have liberty and yet show mercy and compassion and love and grace upon others who are not nearly so blessed. You take God out of the occasion, and the nation becomes a house of cards. Until finally the last card is moved and the whole thing comes crashing. But I say it very simply. There is no substitute for God. There is no substitute for the Word of God. And there is no substitute for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. You destroy that, you will have nothing left. Because whenever you attempt to substitute what God can do in the human heart by laws that are written to check and balance the success of men, you will destroy the nation. Only God can bring a solution. Only God can fill in the defects of all human governments. And the simple foundation that, listen, without God, without the power of God, there can be and will be no real changes. Changes are not more of the same. You see, my friend, we know that the answer is the Word of God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is the great fear of God. For when you destroy that in the hearts and minds of people, then they have no sense of accountability. They have no consciousness of the possibility of blessing and cursing. And they lose the foundation and separation of good and evil. For God becomes that foundation that makes that dividing line between light and dark, good and evil, blessing and cursing. You destroy that line, you destroy that consciousness, and you will destroy a society of people. And so, Paul prayed those believers, Lord, help them to their love to abound more and more in knowledge and judgment, that they might approve, that their highest validation, their highest approval, that it might be things that are excellent, things that have significance in light of the Word of God. And I hope today that you and I can communicate that to others. We live in this particular time of the politics of our society. But as I stand back and watch it and observe it, listen to it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, I realize my message has remained the same. Brother Matthew, and that is only hope for you, only hope for your marriage, only hope for your home, only hope for your society, only hope for your nation, is the Lord Himself. That's it. Because without Him, you can dance in the streets and you can celebrate and hoop and haul and hold your banners and get all excited and think everything will happen. Without God, ain't going. There will not be any real changes until a man, until a family, until a society, until a nation turns toward God. They will not have answers. They will not know peace. They will not know joy. They will not know solutions because there's no fear of God in their lives. I don't preach these things to depress you. I preach these things to help you understand that our hope is not in me. Our hope is in God. And our message to our neighbors, to our family, our friends, we may enjoy some political discussions, but those things pale in comparison to what we ought to recommend to those around us. And that is, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And know that which you're looking for will be brought in by Him and by no other man. And listen, God help us to know, to understand, and proclaim this wisdom principle. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The blindness of people, they're mourning, they're angry, they're vexed, they're grieved, and they're demanding change. But they're the blind leading the blind. Blind leading the blind. Can't find the answer. Can't find the door. Can't find the power. Can't find the hope. And they won't. Until there's a fear of God in the land. It's our responsibility as the church, as the light of the world and salt of the earth, to point men. Tell you where the answer's found. The answer's found in the Lord. Only